This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We now turn our focus to the Eastern Cape. It is, of course, election season. Issues of service delivery are at the heart of things. Politics, but also communities appearing to be taking back their power from, you know, political parties. You would have heard Musi Maimane detailing the work that they are doing, supporting independent candidates under various banners as movements, as civic organizations, and all of that. Now, someone who's not an unfamiliar voice in the space of fighting for social justice and people's rights is Ayanda Kota with the Unemployed People's Movement. And now they have what is called the Makana Citizens Front. I was looking at the lists in the Makana local municipality, and they have fielded some candidates, 7 on the PR seat, and then across some, if I'm not mistaken, I'll tell you just now, across some 14 wards. So yeah, we are going to be chatting to him. You will know that in Makana, of course, there was the issue where the Unemployed People's Movement and others took this municipality and the provincial government to court, forcing the hand of the provincial government to intervene. We also saw at some point the Gift of the Givers actually going to the city and delivering boreholes that ought to have been delivered by government just to aid in terms of the water shortages that were there. This is the kind of work we have seen. We just want to catch up with Ayanda, find out, how far some processes are and what the Makana Citizens Front is all about. Ayanda Budi, always a pleasure. Good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning to you, Akona and Lukona, and good morning to FM, Power FM listeners.
Thank you so much. Perhaps just give us an update. How far are things with, the implementation of the court judgment that was telling effectively the provincial government to intervene in the affairs of Makana local municipality and ensure that, they bring about a turnaround in that municipality? What has happened since we last spoke about that judgment? How far are things?
All right, but Lukona, you'd remember that last year there was a landmark judgment forcing the provincial government to dissolve the local council. Mm. They appealed and Judge Stretch gave another scathing attack, saying that both the provincial government and the local council must hang their heads in shame for appealing what is, they've really failed their constitutional obligation. So now the matter is in Supreme Court of Appeal, SCA in Bloemfontein.
Okay.
They took the matter to Bloemfontein, Supreme Court of Appeal. So the matter is now moot, or the matter, you would say, it's academic, because it's local government elections in 3 weeks' time from now. So that's what it is. It was a tactic or a strategy on their part to delay the process as possible as they can. So, they've been able to do so. It was not only delaying the process. It was also about denying the citizens of Makana justice.
Mm.
But also it was undermining the voice, the wish of the people of Makana. It was really continuing or perpetuation of the of both the local council and the province vandalizing the dignity of what is left and from the residents of Makana, because the issues that were raised, the sewer, the question of water, the question of roads, and quite a number of things, we haven't seen any significant changes as far as those things are concerned. But also, like, the last point that I want to make is a question of democracy. That I've made this point to you, to say, I mean, we collected about 22,000 signatures, people saying this council should be dissolved. You would remember in the previous elections.
Yeah.
In the previous elections, about 23,000 people voted. So we went to court and we won. The premier was opposing, or his executive committee, or even the local council, have never taken to the people to say, why did you endorse or why did you petition us to be dissolved?
Mm.
They have never done so. They took a political, not just a political elite, but a very corrupt, predatory political elite, took a decision to oppose or to challenge the court ruling in a way of appealing.
Mm.
That speaks to our to the kind of democracy we have, because democracy should be the voices of the people, should be the struggle of the weak majority. Democracy should be the government of the people, for the people, by the people. So it tells you clearly that, I mean, these guys, they don't even care about democracy.
Mm.
What they care is about their own selfish interests. But it also tells you very key and very fundamentally that the politicians have really, and political parties have really appropriated the power of the people. They have the power because they've got the resources, they've got the money, they've got the patronage network, they are greedy. So they have appropriated the power of the people, despite the people saying, we do not want you, you do not represent us, you have failed us. We can even sign a petition to demonstrate that. We can even take it to court. But it doesn't matter to politicians.
Now, talking about, you know, democracy and some stuff not mattering to politicians, because indeed, one would have thought, you know, after that judgment, everybody would have sat around and say, look, there are real service delivery issues here. Things are no longer the same for people. There are services we have not been able to deliver. Civil society has had to intervene to get some things running and going for the communities. It seems now then, as we have seen this trend growing across different municipalities, citizens have decided to organize themselves. In Makana, there are citizens now organizing around the Makana Citizens Front. I also saw the Makana Independent New Deal, which really these outfits seem to want to say, look, we understand their politicians and their politics, but we want to organize ourselves mainly around being citizens. Tell us about what brought about the formation of the Makana Citizens Front.
Well, there was a shutdown, and what became key in the shutdown was that we want Oscar Mabuyane to come and explain to us,
yeah,
as citizens of Makanda, why is he appealing the court decision? Where did he arrive or derive the mandate to do so? Because we did not give him the mandate. We are the people of the city. He's not staying here. Not only that, he imposed on us a mayor who's not staying here, who's staying in Bluewater Bay, in posh suburbs in PE. So we wanted to know, why is he appealing? When he's not living here, he's not experiencing the daily suffering suffering that we continue to be experiencing on a daily basis.
Mm.
So he did not come. So it was in the it was during shutdown when the people said, we are sick and tired of politicians. We are giving Ayanda Kota and Lungisa Sixaba a mandate to go and form a civic movement.
Mm.
That will contest election. When they say Ayanda Kota, they meant we are giving the UPM, because we were there representing,
yes,
UPM with comrades, to register a civic movement that could begin to contest elections. And we did so. That movement, a civic movement, was registered. We went back to the soccer seat and said, we have registered that civic movement. So we had deliberations, and it is here now. It is contesting the elections. And if you look at that civic movement, it will not, I mean, the councillors, né, will be accountable directly to their communities, to their constituencies. they will not be accountable. They will not be an imposed nucleus or caucus where the councillors will be accountable to. They will be accountable directly to their communities.
Mm.
They are subject to recall, not by the political party or by MCF. They are subject to be recalled by their constituents, meaning communities that have elected them. Three, these councillors, they'll be getting paid something like 28,000. Out of that 28,000, they'll be earning a salary of or a living wage of an ordinary worker, skilled worker, meaning they'll be taking home about 15,000.
Mm.
The rest of the money, their community will decide. An example that we have been getting and from these communities, they know they are saying we've got a house, about three houses in this community, where these houses are child-headed homes.
Mm.
There is no income. So they will take a decision, for an example, to say we will be supporting these child-headed homes where there is no income, where the parents have died, right? So it's a prerogative of the community how they use that money. But they've been able to explain to us, this is what we think we'll be doing as communities to support these homes that are really struggling, where there is no income, where we know there are only three learners or two learners that are staying there. The parents have died. They are depending on the mess of the community to give them or to give them this or that or to contribute. So that is the prerogative of the community. So that what makes MCF distinct from political parties.
I'm listening to you and I'm really, you know, so excited even hearing about these new inventions and how some of that money is going to accrue to communities. Please just hang 10 for me, my brother. I need to pay some bills and then come back to you. People of Power, if you've got a quick question or comment to squeeze in, we are focusing Makana local municipality, unemployed people's movement. They're given a mandate to start this Makana Citizens Front, and Ayanda is giving us some insights as to what distinguishes them from political parties. 0861-987-000. We are literally running out of time towards those local government elections on the 1st of November 2021. I will ask Ayanda that. Curiously, I was looking at the list and I thought I would see his name and I didn't. Why that is, he will tell us 22 minutes past 10.
9 a.m. to noon. This is Power Talk on Power 98.7.
Indeed, we are talking. My guest is Ayanda Kota, activist and founding member of the Unemployed People's Movement and Makana Citizens Front. Well, if you keep hearing us talking about Makana, that's the town that used to be called Grahamstown. That's where the Rhodes University, or the university currently known as Rhodes, as students would call it, is situated. A hub of really a lot of activity in our country, including the National Arts Festival. Ayanda, I mean, I didn't see your name, and I know you. You try not to center yourself a lot in things that you do. But I was curious. I said, why are you not on the list?
All right. I mean, it's a discussion that we had with UPM, and if we should forward UPM comrades into MCF. But a decision was taken by UPM to say, we are a social movement. We must not commit a political blunder.
Yeah.
I mean, you have seen, you know what happened between COSA to ANC and SACP, where it became about lists and how many SACP members you can have in the ANC list. So the play that the role that they were supposed to they are not playing that role, and they are supposed to lead the community struggles. So we felt as UPM, we'll continue to play the role that we are playing, and to be outside the state, and to raise pertinent issues, and to hold the politicians accountable. Remember, even the candidates that are on MCF, we don't subscribe to Puritans, to people that are pure and to people that are perfect. We subscribe to, we are all human, we all got flaws. But what is important, we must always do a thorough check on ourselves as far as our behavior is concerned.
Yeah.
So we took a decision that, I mean, we'll continue, if they win, we'll continue to hold them accountable, and to the things that they've promised to the community. They've made a commitment to do 1, 2, 3. UPM will be there. We'll not be saying these are our comrades. We'll continue to play the role that we are playing, and of being critical and of demanding accountability, making sure that there's oversight. They do the work that they've committed to do. So UPM will continue with that role.
Yeah. Now, just a quick one, a question that has come to me via text, Ayanda, saying UPM has always very much been a working class and impoverished people's movement. Is that MCF a cross-class alliance and malleable political ideology organization? If so, what are the pros and cons of the structure? Finally, beyond elections, what is the emancipatory vision? Ayanda, this is from Prof. Matlingos. You can tell he's academicizing us, and you know him. But let's try deal with, you know, just perhaps the ideological posture of the Makana Citizens Front and how it borrows from UPM, and whether there are other class groups that are accommodated within this front.
Well, the reality of the matter, there are other groups that are accommodated into this structure, because where Makana is currently, it's like if there is no water, it affects everyone, whether you are a middle class or you are a working class. It just affects everyone. The question of roads affects everyone in Makanda across the board. The issue of the collapse of service delivery. But of course, if you are a middle class and you always have, you are always presented with options, like you can always buy water, you've got quite a number of options. If you are a working class like Ayanda or members of the UPM, you do not have any option. You don't have the luxury of saying, okay, I can buy water, I can do this, I can do. You're not presented with options. So the commitment, it should be of the MCF. It should be biased towards the working class, and because they are they bear the brunt of the collapse of this council on daily basis. I mean, if I don't have water, I don't have water. And it means I will not pass. I don't have the luxury that I can go to Pick and Pay and buy about 15 liters of water so that we can wash with my family. We don't have that luxury. It means we do not have, but we can afford 500 or 10 rand for us to be able to drink or for us to be able to cook. Beyond that, there's nothing we can do. So yeah, it has to be biased towards the working class to assert the humanity of those who have been dehumanized by this process.
I just before I let you go, Ayanda, what are some of the key issues you'd like to broker? I mean, we've already spoken, but anything that you might have left out that will be a priority as your activists get into office on day one?
I think to me, what is important, I mean, whether the Chapter 7 of the Constitution on Local Government, the Municipal Systems Act of 2000, talks about the centrality of the people, that the governance of locality must be rested in the hands of the people. So I think that's very key. That's very important. That's one way to assert the humanity of the people.
Yeah.
That's one way to make sure that democracy prevails, that people are no longer spectators on the game that they are supposed to be playing. So people must know that this is the budget of Makana Municipality. It must not be a secret that we've got over 500 million, which is the annual budget. And people must be able to say, this is how we want it spent. That's number one. But very key, you cannot continue to hold council meetings in council chambers. This council meeting must be held in communities where people reside. And they must be conducted in a language that people understand. Because the majority of people speaks isiXhosa in Makanda, over 70% of the population. So you've got to take this to the people, and people must participate, and people must understand how these things work, and people must understand that these are our needs. You go back to them and understand that we have allocated this much for this what, and we think we'll be able to do this much together with the community.
Ayanda, unfortunately, Budi, I'm out of time, but best wishes. We will be watching out as the election results trickle after the 1st of November.
Thank you very much.
Okay. That's Ayanda Kota, activist and founding member of the Unemployed People's Movement and Makana Citizens Front.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za. or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.